guys. Welcome back. Our guest tonight has a new comedy album available for pre-order now. It will be available May 12th for purchase. Sean White is here. Hey, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, when I Google the new album, the first result is on Target.com. That's pretty cool, right? You're going to be in Targets,
yeah.
Buddy.
No, it's cool, man. I mean, they don't carry it physically in stores because I don't think they have, like, five CDs in store.
They only
anymore.
Have five?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure it's actually three of them are the same, but the other two, fantastic. But it's most stores don't actually carry any physical media anymore, so they have it digitally, and that's they were really nice about doing that last time. I guess they just, once they have an artist on there, they just buy it because I doubt anyone listens.
Do you think Target still has the five copies of your first one?
See, I now have come to learn more about the business where I don't think they bought a single one. I think they're just selling digital copies, or what they would just do is just when you get one order, they'd be like, all right, well, we'll order that one and resell it for them. I don't think that there's some warehouse somewhere with five of my CDs in it. It was a mistake.
You don't think Target just has them on a shelf?
That distributor was fired so fast.
Target, I guess it's a bigger deal for you to be in Targets than it is for Target to.
Although I will say Best Buy has not carried it yet. And I don't know the hell the problem is. They had it last year. Come on now. I used to be an employee there. Help a fellow out.
Well, I guess if you were an employee there, you could have just snuck a few in and set them out and seen what happened.
You should sneak into the Best Buy and pretend to be the DirecTV dude.
Oh, yeah. They're like, what was the old, they used to have the clear wireless salesman in there. It'd sell you Wi-Fi anywhere. And they had, for some reason, that was new at the time.
Sean, I listened to your new one today while I was doing laundry. I noticed something that you mentioned that I think you mentioned in the first one, too. And it was throwing something out there about how you kind of struggle to stand out in a sea of normal looking white dudes.
Yep.
And I mean, you're not fat. So
not as fat as the real struggle, of course. But
yeah,
you
were fat, that would be great. Have you considered that as like a career, you know, boost to just like, you know, start eating a whole lot and getting really fat? Because I feel like the fat guys, you know, the fat guys is where it's at in comedy, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if you live long enough to enjoy the success, I suppose, they don't exactly have a long history of making it into the record books.
That's true. That's true. There's not a lot of longevity in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, like Jesus and anything. If you die at the peak, you know, that's the best time. You know, Chris Farley is remembered mostly for that.
So is that something that's, you know, kind of, I mean, I guess, you know, you can't really complain that, you know, you're struggling as a white male. But I mean, I guess to kind of like differentiate yourself and be different than the 300 other white guys who think they have something funny to say.
Well, to be perfectly honest, if this is the biggest challenge that I face, then that's, oh boy, that's going to be an easy career. Cause that's something that I have heard personal stories from everybody on every other end of the spectrum. And it's a hell of a lot worse. I've no, you know, like people, I've noticed that some comics will literally go like, oh, they just won't book because I'm a white male. And it's like, yeah, sometimes that happens.
Sometimes there's white guys.
You could just,
most times there's white guys.
If someone was like, hey, do you want to get on a show with seven other white males? I mean, there are still comedy clubs now that still do. They'll have like a 15 comic lineup and only like one woman on it. And everybody else on the lineup is white and male.
And well, women aren't very funny.
Well, it just seems like you're not trying to look for comedians, because honestly, if you just look around, there are a lot of good people of every type of background. I think people just naturally go laugh at what their background is, and because white men run it, or actually I've noticed there's a lot of female bookers that don't book any women, which I find very odd, but that also tends to be the case in a lot of comedy clubs. But they purchase the same product every time because they think it's a safe product, you know?
You could just copy Bill Hicks like Dennis Leary did.
There's no political comedy in any of this. I'm not going to be doing any of that kind of stuff.
You kind of avoid current events altogether and pop culture references and stuff like that. I guess that all kind of has expiration dates, and you kind of have found, you know, like your own thing that's unique to you. You talk about insanely depressing things.
yes, but there's also no mention of the dead family this time, I don't think. But it's a mental space where I think I work well, and it helps me to dedicate to a joke if I know I'm not just going to have to lose it the second that some asshole stops being president. Like, I want to be able to hold on to something. That's why I don't talk about relationship stuff either on stage. Like, very specifically, I know that I'm going to feel different about this later.
Right.
Even if I, like, I might go to an open mic and do, like, a rant with people I've scouted everyone in the room and vetted and know none of them are going to say shit. And, like, so I can say what I need to say real quick and get it off my chest. But dedicating yourself to that as a joke, first off, like, especially with, like, relationship stuff, like, if you even tell, like, say, three stories in a row, and then, but are they about three different people? And then you come off as if you're just ragging on everybody you've been with, or do you say them as one person where it sounds like you dated the one worst person in the world? Then if any one of those three people hears it, they think you're saying all this, blaming them for the stuff of the other two, and you can't fight what is essentially a defamation if you actually are dumb enough to open your mouth and say, hey, I'm offended. You just got to keep your mouth shut.
So,
be quiet, because I've dated comics where they say shit. You got to be like, I'm just going to slink out of here. Nobody's got to know nothing.
So
when you do like those kind of jokes, it's just, I don't know. I don't see the point in wasting time on it.
When you're done with an album, like this new album that you just did, do you keep using those jokes or do you trash the whole set?
I don't trash it. I put it away very carefully. But I would say,
on the shelf at Target.
How dare you? No, what I do is I purposely delay the release of the album by like 6 months to give myself enough time to make the new set. And so like I even work on it a little bit before the recording, because by that time, if you'd be doing the same set or talking about the same two subjects for 2 years, you're pretty fucking sick of it. And I also go on like tour right before to work it out as much as possible. So I'm super sick of it and I just want to move on.
And for our listeners that aren't familiar with Sean, his first album was called Dead and Gone. It pretty much dealt specifically with his entire family dying and him getting a divorce kind of all at the same time. And that was pretty much like the focus of the whole album was that. And this one is called Angry and Alone. Do I have that right?
Yep.
And it's, if you can guess, it's about how he's an angry fella. And he's alone.
Oh, it makes it sound so much worse when you say it that way. I like to think that I used micro expressions to use macro expressions so that we can all relate and get in on all of this. And that anger is, in fact, still motivational, all that jazz. And now I'm sales pitching myself. So I'm going to go ahead and put a halt on that.
That is kind of unique to you, though, is you kind of just have, like, two themes that you dissect.
It helps. Like one-liner comedians who can just, like, the ability of Stephen Wright to remember the amount of jokes that he's remembered line is insane. And I have a lot of friends that are one-liner comics, and the biggest struggle for them is remembering what the hell they're trying to say. When I talk about one subject for 20 minutes, my challenge is trying to make you not realize we've been talking about the same thing for 20 minutes.
Right.
It has its own challenge, but at the same time, it allows me to remember what the hell I was talking about. Because if someone just says, tell me about 2 years of your life in 20 minutes, that's actually kind of easy to do. And you could just like, you can boil that kind of thing down. But if somebody says, find 20 minutes worth of funny singular sentences, that's very hard for me.
Yeah.
Sean, my name is Michael Moore. And so I'm telling you that in advance to tell you that it infuriates me every time it comes up. But in the chat room, there's a bunch of people posting pictures of that goddamn snowboard guy.
Yeah,
you hate the fucking snowboard guy, right? And everybody thinks they're the first one to say it, and you just want to punch him in the face, right?
Well, yes and no. First off, I'm never too worried about somebody with a working knowledge of X Games.
How else do you think he got into Target, Mike?
I mean, even realistically, like, if you know too much about the Olympics, and of all things, the Winter Olympics, I mean, it sounds like you watch the Kardashians and The Bachelor. I don't give a fuck what you think. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Then on top of that, Shaun White is being sued for sexual harassment from the drummer in his own band. He was arrested for bailing on a party in a hotel that he left his parents at to get arrested by the police. Are you kidding? He abandoned his parents, and all he does is fall down.
Wait, Sean. Shaun White, the snowboard guy, has a band?
Yeah, he does. Well, he did until he sexually assaulted or harassed the drummer.
I'm sure their music's really good.
Was it at least a lady?
Yeah, it was a lady.
Oh, okay, yeah. We're cool with that then.
What?
Sean, the real question that I have for you, and this is important. If there's two people fighting in a truck driving at high speeds, like they're in the cab of the truck, the truck is driving down the road. There's a driver and there's a passenger, right? Who is at a greater disadvantage?
Well, it depends on the intelligence of the driver.
Say, yeah. I mean, like, first thought, though, you think driver, right? Because he's got to pay attention to the road.
Unless I think that that's the kind of person who might panic and go, oh, no, and suddenly their arms are just completely debilitated, and they just make themselves a big, fat target. But if they're the person who knows they can actually use the wheel to change momentum of the car to move the other person, then they'll probably do better.
Yeah, because you can veer the car. You can slam on the brakes. You can send them right through the goddamn windshield. I assume they're not wearing a seatbelt, right?
That's how anybody escapes from one of those, like, oh, I got a gun behind a seat aisle, you never saw me coming, like, kind of thing, is they just put on the brakes. And that appears to work a lot of times. I think there was a Lois and Clark episode about that. But it's a bit of an old Dean Cain reference, but still. That's pretty good. I love all of Superman's cultural stew. No, it's...
He's a big Dean Cain fan.
Not at all.
Dean Cain kind of is my generation Superman, I feel like.
Well, I would like to see Dean Cain play, like, the Injustice or Gods Among Us Superman.
It was Brandon Ruth? Ralph? I mean, that's not my Superman. The new guy, I think, isn't really my generation anymore. I think the Superman has passed me by. I think Dean Cain is my Superman.
Well, everybody's got to give up their Superman one day or another. You're going to be okay.
When the day comes, it's a sad day, though, Sean.
You got to move on. Don't worry. We have 17 more Batmans and Spider-Mans for you by next week.
See, now I feel like Michael Keaton is my Batman.
Oh, God, you have bad taste.
Now that Val Kilmer's mine.
Is Val Kilmer your Batman?
Yeah. That was a good Batman.
The problem is, I think he was a good Batman, not a very good Bruce Wayne, and I think, like, George Clooney was actually a very good Bruce Wayne.
See,
like,
no, I'm not saying that Dean Cain is the best Superman, but I'm saying that Dean Cain is the Superman, of my generation. You know what I mean?
Superman's also, like, Dean Cain would never be able to just sit in a journal, like, a newspaper office that buff and tan and just, like, coiffed hair, and everyone just be, like, not...
He was fucking charismatic, that Dean Cain, I'll tell you.
There's no way that, like, everybody, like, that's the kind of hot where people hit on you without you even know, like.
Yeah, I mean, you find out it's Dean Cain, that's a bonus, but you'd probably fuck Dean Cain if he wasn't Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not? Right. Let's give it a shot.
He's fucking Terry Hatcher, so.
Ugh.
The world only has one Wolverine. We can all be thankful for that.
For now.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, you said that you might be late because you had to drive through a protest.
Yeah. Well, I didn't drive through it. That makes you sound like
like a terrorist.
You get arrested for that.
Oh, that's what we're calling them. I thought they were no. No, it's fucking. There. What is it? Yeah, the May Day marches and stuff today.
What's the May Day march, Sean? There's too many. I can't keep track of them all. What are they mad about now? Is it still the same thing?
This one's a bit of a classic. It's just a general workers' march for immigrants, especially. I believe it was started in Southern California.
Immigrants?
But yeah, for immigrant labor.
Oh, so it's
like, hey, it's like unions and shit.
Oh, so like they all took the day off.
I don't know.
And they're protesting.
I would assume after their shift.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were people like there's. I think there might be still people like down there, and there's like another park where there's some other people still. But where my office is downtown is like right next to where everybody meets up for every protest. They all meet at Pershing Square and go to City Hall or whatever. So they always meet like right. I park at Pershing Square, so it's like right above my car.
You know, similar to, you know, the amount of normal looking white guys in comedy, don't you feel like there might just be like too much protest to where it's not very effective? It's kind of there's protest fatigue.
I mean, it sounds like you're feeling protest fatigue. Are you tired out by them in the streets?
I mean, like now like a protest. You saw it and you're like, oh, shit. People are really like mad. What are they mad about? I got to learn more about this. But now I don't even know what the May Day March is. You have to tell me about it.
Realistically, I don't know if this one's regional or whatever, but it was in Chicago. And I don't know if people are just getting more into protesting in general because of the policy changes and everything like that. Because it's different when you're marching, say, like, we want like a 6 day or 5 day, 4 day work day or whatever. I kept going in the wrong direction. 4 day work day. But then this year it's more like, hey, stop just, you know, raids. Stop the sanctuary city bullshit. I'm going to defund something that's not even a legal term.
That's like, too many things, though.
Well, why not? Throw them in there.
You can't protest eight things.
Why not?
You got to protest one thing at a time.
We can do this.
See, I remember I went into a bar one time, and I sat down with my pal, and I ordered a Blue Moon, and there was a guy a couple seats down from me that said, hey, friend, I'll tell you what. If you get a hoe garden instead of a Blue Moon, I'll buy it for you. And I was like, well, shit. I mean, like a free beer is better than whatever beer I was going to have. And so took this guy's hoe garden and I drank it. And it was pretty good. And so the next time I went to the store to buy beer, I saw a Hoe Garden there, and I bought a fucking six-pack of Hoe Garden, and I've probably done that several times, and I never would have even known Hoe Garden was there. And I'm thinking about, you know, when you go to like a baseball stadium and they have deals, they give you like a free T-shirt if you sign up for a credit card. They have those booths and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's called predatory lending.
But they get you with that T-shirt. I mean, you know. You didn't give a shit about a credit card that day. You went to watch the Cardinals play and you got a free T-shirt. What the fuck? And I mean, like, what's the worst that could happen? You might activate that credit card. You might not. But like, you know, they got you with the free T-shirt and they sat there. So maybe like instead of like blocking highways and stuff, maybe they could just give out free T-shirts and have you sign a thing.
I think if they weren't fighting over the fact that they don't have any money, that would probably help. But I think most of the people don't have the money to buy T-shirts for everybody. This is a big T-shirt business you're talking about.
That's the whole of my plan. They can't afford T-shirts.
10,000 T-shirts you're giving out. Why don't you just go ahead and clothe the homeless?
Maybe a bake sale. I mean, cookies are cheap.
I did see a really sad protest.
If there was like a bunch of weird people walking around like protesting stuff and they handed me food, I probably wouldn't eat the food. I'd probably be weirded out about it. I didn't think this through, Sean.
You too good for protest food? Come on, man.
I saw a protest out by the police building out in St. Louis. And it was during the workday, so there was nothing like, it was just like soccer moms and like really old hippies. And I don't know what they were protesting because all of their signs weren't in big enough font. And I was like 50 yards away. I'm pretty close to these people. All I know is there was a drum circle. People had signs and they were illegible. And that happened for 30 minutes and then they all went home.
Well, that's what I like about those lists that keep coming out going the best protest signs from the protest. As if people like that's the motivation to go for some reason is to have the best
a cool sign.
Yeah, that's great that they're making it competitive. No, that really helps this brotherly love. But it's something where they do those, and I don't understand how anybody's supposed to read those from less, because when you're taking a photo of them, There was like one, I think, at the March for Science that was like, I came here for research funding and to punch Nazis, and I'm all out of research funding. But
see, I totally missed the March for Science. When was that?
Well, that was a few weeks ago. Come on, man, you got to keep up with this. Well, they were in before that. There was the tax march, and then I think we're going to have a spring solstice march. It's going to be fantastic. Everybody's got to dress up.
If you really wanted to cash out on the whole sign thing, you could just figure out some way to make like a lightweight digital sign that you could put a bunch of different sayings on
and like just a change light it out.
The biggest,
yeah, kind of like that, exactly.
The digital display over your head.
Right, yeah, and then like every minute or so, it changes to a different fun saying.
Yeah, you get all your fun quips in there.
Right.
Well, it'd be like, it's like at those digital photo frames. You just walk down with a giant one of those.
Exactly. But, it has to look like it was, you know, drawn on, like hand done. You know, it can't look too professional.
Yeah.
It'll be the selfie stick of the protest world.
Or you can just keep like 20 in your pocket that you rotate. No, like the, what is the yard markers in football when they pull the arrow down, like it shows the right number. Just have one of those, but with different signs.
Yeah.
We better figure out how to multitask our signs here.
I'm getting mixed reviews for the free t-shirt. Some people are for it. Some people are. What if they mowed lawns? Just go door to door and just say like, hey, we'll mow your front lawn, but like, while we're mowing your lawn, one of us is going to talk about all the shit that makes us mad.
Well, this sounds just like a good plan for Jehovah's Witness.
That's not bad either. I mean, usually they just hand me a pamphlet.
And one of them was like, well, okay, tell you what, there's two of you, idle hands, you know the verse. One of you get out there, start cleaning them gutters.
Right, right. Just do simple housework chores while they talk about their thing.
What if they just went door to door passing out like pints of ice cream and you just had like Black Lives Matter ice cream?
Well, there was. I think Ben and Jerry's actually became Black Lives Matter ice cream.
Oh, wow.
They did come out with a public stance about it and released one and donated to it with each one.
What was the flavor?
What was the ice cream?
I don't know. I didn't eat it. I just knew that it was a marketing campaign.
Why not, Sean? What are you trying to say?
I don't like sugar. There, I said it. Or cream. Get out of my face. Do whatever the hell I want. Keep my body like a temple. I don't want to become one of those fat comics that does so well, according to you.
There's a couple. There's quite a few. There's Ralphie May. He's a fat fella.
Yeah.
And that's his whole thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm fat. Look.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah, so, well, he's fat and he's like a Puerto Rican or something. So he has two things. That's why he's on the billboards. So you have two things. There you go.
So what did you guys think of the album?
I listened to it, Sean. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I haven't listened yet.
There's one like really good laugher out there, like one guy who kind of amplifies above everybody else.
We actually tried to get him removed from the audio multiple times.
No. You noticed him and you were like, oh, fuck that guy. We got to get rid of that fucking guy.
Yeah, and he insisted on saying he's actually a very nice guy.
Oh, you know the guy?
Yeah, because he comes to a lot of comedy shows. He's very nice. He even actually came to a house party I was throwing and set up a virtual reality like demo for people. He's a very unique gentleman, and
guy's got a laugh on him though.
Yeah, he does, and he sat in the front row of both shows and did that. And I figured, well, we'll edit this out. No, he was loud enough where it was picked up on my mic and the audience mic, so there was no way to dull him down. We had multiple sound people look at trying to specifically remove him.
Does this really bum you out that I brought out the really loud laughter? Like you were thinking like maybe people wouldn't notice him?
No. I knew it was coming.
Yeah,
I was just doing more of a venting session. No one's asked me about it before.
He's very enthusiastic. I mean, it's not like distracting. It's not like I'm hearing him and not you, but like, boy, you can notice that fucking guy. You got to give him like a special credit on the liner notes.
Yeah. Well, I'll give him a shout out. His name's Farid Muhammad, and he's a big dude who wears Indiana Jones hats and has the biggest laugh in the goddamn world. And it's very hard to say no to a man like that.
Do you think he knows? Like, he knows what he's doing? He's aware of it?
I see him mention to others online that, hey, if you want to hear my laugh, it's on this. Like, I think he goes for it.
Oh,
I think
it's kind of a fuck that guy.
Notch bedpost.
If he's just really into it, that's one thing. But if he's doing it on purpose, yeah, fuck that guy.
There is one thing I wanted to know. What do comics do with you set up a thing where you want to record the audience, you want to record the set. What happens if that gets fucked up? Like, what if you bomb that set? What do you do with that recording?
Well, now we have to, like, in the future, when I see this kind of thing coming, I'm going to have to, between the shows, ask them to move to the back. So at least that way you're only on the audience mic and you're not on the line mic. So that way it can be adjusted properly. But I don't want to ever say somebody who's actually going to say, how dare you enjoy yourself and do, you know, how dare you be so supportive and come to my shows and pay for both.
Laugh less hard at my jokes.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hearty laugher, and it's a good one to have. You know, like most comedy scenes have one of him, have a patron saint of all your comedy, and like they go, they're not a comic, but they go to all the shows, and they are huge supporters. I think Denver's is Dave Caldwell, is an absolute fantastic guy. Same thing, shows up all the shows, sits in the front row, politest guy, laughs real loud, just the nicest guy.
So, Angry and Alone is available for pre-order now. You can get it on iTunes and Amazon and Target. It's available May 12th for purchase. And, Sean, what's your Twitter handle?
@ Sean White Comedy.
Sean White Comedy on Twitter. Be sure to tweet him and tell him you heard him here. Sean, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me, man.
No problem. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Matt.
Yes, sir.
You purchased Sean's first album after he was on the show.
And I did.
Me and Travis both bought copies. I think he sold 3 copies, and we were the ones that bought them. So the WFOD
I bought it right after the show. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his first appearance a lot. He's a very funny guy.
He is, and I'm kind of curious like what the next 2 things are going to be. I mean, you've covered all the sad ones, right?
Oh, you can always get sadder.
Dead and Gone and Angry and Alone. I don't know where you go from there.
Maybe he just gets a bunch of animals and they all die on him.